Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 103. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Typically, I would just ask, hey, how's it going, guys? What's up? We have a special guest in the studio.
An unexpected one, right?
Sean is back.
Yes.
Sean is back.
He is alive and well.
He's alive and alive.
The first thing I have to say is that I'm going to stop joking about being, you know, like fired from the podcast.
Because that's right.
I think I tried to take care of that myself.
Yes.
But yes, I am here.
We had a little scare, Sean.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a pretty big scare. Yeah. But I am here. I am upright and moving forward. Now, this is the reason that I'm here is because, number one, I love doing this. And somebody did make a joke about, like, maybe this was all a ploy to get our numbers up, which I laughed out loud at.
Not
I thought
a bad
that
idea.
Was, I was like, hey,
write that down.
Yeah. I wish I was that smart to think of something like that. But no, I'm not that crafty. But I'm here because the great Jerry and Tracy Polly, as they would say, the show must go on.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. I told him, like, you know, he said that too. Like, after he went home, like, oh, he needs to rest. He needs to do this. I'm not a good rester. Mm. And I have been trying. It's actually a little bit difficult to sleep or rest. I'll be honest with you, to be quite candid. This is good. When I woke up this morning, I'm like, I'm going to do this. You know, you guys were going to try to do this yourselves. And I'm like, if you guys don't mind me joining, I think all I got, Jenna said, all I got to do is sit there, right? You know, like, I do a little bit more than that. But yeah. So
do you want to tell, I don't know if you want to tell the whole story because it'd be forever, but I know most of our listeners
Cliff
aren't
notes.
Going to know what we're talking about. So, yeah,
absolutely. I won the lottery on Wednesday. No, I was kidding.
You did, somewhat.
Yeah.
I was on my way here, and I had just picked the kids up from, or the boys up from baseball or batting practice. And so I'd gotten them back, and I had a quick bowl of chili. I was talking to the family, getting ready to go. I had my bags in the car. I went to the car. I started feeling a little funny, you know, I didn't finish my chili. I actually, Ella ended up eating the rest of it. And I was like, I think I just need to go. So I jumped in the car. And as soon as I got in the car, I felt weird. Like I started feeling really cold and things started slowing down and I felt dizzy. And all I could think was, if I get in this car and drive right now, this is not going to go well. Like I might run through the house. Because I didn't really know which way was up. So I shut the car off. I'm glad I did. I'm so glad. Because there was part of me like, well, maybe if I just try, you know. So I got out, left the bags in there, and I went and sat on the couch. Jenna had thought I must have sat in there long enough that she was like, I thought you were gone. What are you doing here? And I told her, I said, I don't feel right. Like, something's wrong. I feel cold and clammy. And she felt me. She's like, you feel fine. And she said, just go lay down for a minute. Maybe it's just the chili. You know, maybe you're just feeling bad for a minute. It'll pass. And so I did. I went. I don't remember a lot of the events. They're very hodgepodge. What happened after that? Basically, though, I had tried to like lay down for a little bit. Harrison at one point found me on the floor. I had taken a shower. I guess I gotten dressed, but things were just so like there's lost time, big time. And all I know is that Harrison had gotten me to get into bed and just to rest. And then when he went, because Jenna thought, she's like, he's probably just having like a reaction to food. Maybe he needs his GERD medicine. So he was trying to find that for me is what he was trying to do. And when he came back over to check on me, he said I was just laying there stick straight and breathing weird. And like, he's like, Dad. And so he called Jenna. Jenna was trying to bring the computer over here because I had tried to apparently communicate with. I did communicate with Nate.
Yeah, you talked to me. You were coherent, and I knew what you were saying.
And
you weren't like it didn't raise any flags on my end.
Yeah, so I just told him I didn't feel well, yeah. And then I was dizzy.
I'm going to use air quotes. Normal Sean.
Yeah,
normal Sean.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, like what else is new? This could be fun recording, right? And it's funny because I don't remember a lot of that. That's why I even had to ask Nate like how that went. But so. Harrison found me. Jenna was, he had to FaceTime with her. She was by all accounts, freaking out, but trying to help him, you know, call 911, you know, and he had to do CPR on me. I did not stop breathing, as I understand. I don't know exactly what was going on with me, but my breathing was irregular. My heart rate was through the roof. Harrison said it was so fast he couldn't count it. So they felt like I was going into what's called VTAC, ventricular tachycardia. So, and they said, you know, take him down on the floor. Harrison is very proud. I mean, obviously he was freaking out. He said it was the scariest thing he ever did, but he handled himself very calmly. He said he could hear the other three like screaming, but he said, I just became so focused. I knew I needed to save you. And so the 911 operator, basically told him, like, you got to do these chest thumps. This is what we got to do. The sequence that he told him to do to kind of get my heart to be back into rhythm and doing the compressions and everything. And so he did four cycles of this. And on the fourth cycle, I came up. And there's a lot of experiences. You're right. This could take forever. And I will share these when I kind of process through them. But I had a lot of experiences, some of them very scary, some of them very peaceful and beautiful. But I came to, but I don't really remember that part of it. There was a whole interaction with, you know, emergency staff and the ambulance crew and everything, the EMTs, and they were trying to help. And they were making sure nothing weird was going on. You know, that was, and which is, that's probably what they would see. You know, always been drinking, drugging, whatever. All that stuff came back negative, obviously. But anyway, they got me in the ambulance. I ended up going to the hospital. They took 5 or 6 hours to get me to come to. I was in basically a near coma state. It was, if on a coma scale, it was just a couple clicks ahead of basically needing to be ventilated. And I did come very close to that. After they said, we're going to vent him if he doesn't come to after we do this brain MRI. So in the MRI, something in that must have like made me come to. Maybe it was Jenna for 5 or 6 hours torturing me. She did do a fair amount of that. She did whisper in my ear things like, I'll be nice. I promise to be nice if you just come back to me.
Holding her to it.
She was doing some things like a lot of pain stimulation and I was not responding. So
yes, because Jenna and Rachel, my wife, they were there. They're there and they're both nurses. They know
how to get somebody to wake up. Yeah. Well, they'd even,
he's not faking
like Narcan because they assumed, like I said, I'd had something and they thought given that should bring me right out of it. It did not. So all these different things. So long and short of it is they did not have to vent me. I finally came to, but I was still, you know, for another day, it was hard to wake up. I was, you know, between the things they gave me and whatever I went through. So they, you know, there's no seizure activity, although they said that could still have been a seizure, just, you know, like an isolated anomalous seizure. Hopefully it'll never happen again. They said it, my heart, by all accounts, except for all that, the ventricular tachycardia, which apparently I had some more in the ambulance.
And yeah, because you hawked out and wanted to fight them.
They said that I went a bit nuts. And I do remember like screaming to be left alone. And I remember doing this Hulk thing because whatever they were doing to me, I didn't like. And it might have been around the time they gave me the Narcan. Maybe I didn't like that so much. And but anyway, that was just
makes Sean mad.
Makes right. So I ended up, Jenna had me shipped from IU West, which they took wonderful care of me, but she had me shipped to Methodist because she's like, I want to make sure that this gets looked at. What is going on here? So basically they think it was either maybe some kind of an isolated seizure. It was viral in nature because I hadn't been feeling the greatest. I felt a little gassed for a couple of days. I kept telling Jenna, I was like, not bad enough to call in and I'd had some, I know it's a little bit TMI, but some diarrhea for a couple of days. But again, it was just like, whatever. So they said, well, and my temperature was up a little bit. So they said, maybe it was a viral process. The other thing that's been brought up, which, you know, and I still don't have a sense of smell and all this post-COVID stuff, but they were talking about like a cytokine storm, which is basically when your immune system goes nuts because it doesn't know what to do with the infection that it's dealing with. And that kind of a system. And I've watched people have to go through that during COVID, I remember. And I've watched a few people. It can be very fatal because your system can't handle that for any length of time. So I don't know what it is or what it was, but I am to follow up, obviously, with a couple different specialties and things like that. So that's already going to be in the works, and obviously, and I'm taking some time off of work, and they already told me, because I'm sitting there trying to say, well, Monday or Tuesday, I can come back and just get checked out and whatever. They're like, Sean, we want you to rest, but you're not coming back on Monday. You know, like, don't, no, you're going to take a minute, you know, yeah. And you know, I do want to get back to work as soon as I can, but I know I need to give myself a minute too. So, but here I am. So I'm, like I said,
no brain damage?
I'll know more than normal. I mean, I think it's pretty... I do have a brain. The MRI did show.
He beat me to it.
They did find a little polyp in the brain MRI. I didn't tell you guys this. Mm. And they said that could be part of your headaches and the migraines that you've been having. There's this polyp that probably needs to be out of there. So I am going to follow up. That's one of the things I'm going to follow up with as well, is maybe that will help with some of the headaches and stuff. That would be awesome.
That'd be nice.
Did not know I had that. So, yeah. But yeah, so it's all... Truly, I want to thank, number one, my family, friends, you guys, everybody out there that has poured in love and support. I really, really appreciate it. I can't thank you guys enough. There's too many to thank right now. You know, work families and families and friends and baseball teams and softball teams. And it's just community. The school principal, for God's sakes. I mean, it's just so many people have poured into us. And so thank you. I thank God. I think Jesus, I that is who I yelled out to, truly. Mm-hmm. And he did. He saved me. And there's no bones about that. I've had some amazing experiences in that. I will take with me to my grave, and not for many years though. All right, that's right. But I want to thank them. But I do want to thank the EMTs. I want to thank the hospital staffs, the doctors, the nurses, everybody that came in and took exceptionally wonderful care of myself and Jenna. And I would talk the PT and the OT I got to work with, which was wonderful. And they were laughing. They're like, "You could lead this," and I was like, I could, you know, been doing this for 20 years, but I like ran them up and down the stairs, and they said, "Your heart rate's better than ours now." So, anyway, so all good things. So I just I'm very grateful, obviously, to be here, and, I'm trying not to waste any time, and here we go. But I promise to take good care and slowly ease back into it as well.
Do you remember the message I sent you? It was Thursday late morning. And I said, "You better don't do this again." I said, "Or I will bully you and beat you up."
Right, exactly.
I said, "This nonsense."
Enough of this.
Another interesting thing, and I hadn't told you this yet, Todd, but a week ago, Jude had his seizure.
Right.
And so here I am, and that was the question, is there something environmental? So we've checked all that stuff, and, you know, so it doesn't seem to be that. But Jenna had texted me on Wednesday morning. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I hope this Wednesday goes better than last Wednesday." And I cryptically said, "How could it get any worse?"
Oh, there you go.
And I said, "I love you. Have a nice day." And she, that was our last text together. And then Harrison
universe decided to
show me it could get worse. How could it get any worse?
Oh, yeah. Oh man. We are glad you are here and okay-ish.
Well, thank you for. I'm tired. I'm sore. Yeah. I'm feeling a little winded, but I'm okay. I'm good, and I think I can do this, or I wouldn't be here. And I appreciate you guys gave me opportunities to do this in bed and you know, remotely. And I
wanted to do it in bed.
That's right. All three of us.
Why don't we all just call in?
Wait a minute. Wait.
I got here
not,
about 20 minutes later.
Not together. It's in our separate locations.
I was like, all right, if Sean can do it, I can do it.
Harrison said he felt 3 pops.
Yeah,
in your chest. So you may be sore.
I'm sore there, and then Jenna and Rachel's sternal rubbing me. This is how my speech is going to come out every once in a while. But I do have to say that things are very they're crisp. And I told that to Jenna walking out, and I said, "It's just a weird feeling." And she goes, "Oh, it's probably all the drugs they had you on, and blah, 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 I'm pumping you full of fluids." I said, "Maybe, but I just feel things feel different."
It's I bet.
Slow in a good way, but I can hear everybody's conversations. I can feel the energy around me, and it's it feels not Spider-Man kind of, but that feel of like
you got a Peter tingle.
I got a Peter tingle.
That's a great movie. Nate,
I love that in the movie.
I'm gonna start telling people that. That's what I got.
You know, use then your I'm Peter get tingle. In jail. It's not a Peter tingle. Quit saying that,
Aunt May.
It's creepy.
So yes, that's Sean. A great way to wrap that up. So.
Yeah, when I put that on the Facebook group, just the generic, "Hey, we need prayers." You know, I don't know if it's, you know, I should say anything further than that yet. Man, the response was boom, a lot of prayers.
It was
a lot
awesome.
Of people posting.
We appreciate everyone.
Liking. Yeah.
Hi. Thank you, Creepies. So thank you. Do. And that's why I'm here, because that's what Jenna said. If you can go, you should go. And I told her, I said, "Well, I'm not sure I'm going to be up to it." And you know, so on and so forth. And then I talked to Jerry Pauly this morning, and I didn't tell him I was going to come do this, but I got to thinking if he can handle it. He did it and jumped right back into it. I can do this. But she said, if you can, you should, because your fans, you owe it to them. And I thought, fans, what the heck is she talking about? But she said, your listeners, you know, deserve that. If you can be there and to give them comfort and solace that, you know, what you've been through, and then, and you know, you can bring that comfort to them, you should. So that was Jenna's idea too. So we can thank her for that, for motivating me. But I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
Although they freaked out as soon as they left, her and Rachel, sitting there texting me as we're sitting here, and like, "You got this, right? Be urgent today. You know CPR, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know how to do CPR."
They just want to make sure you do mouth to mouth, whether it's needed or not.
Yeah. And it's like, "I know the new technique. There's no breaths." And it was like, "Oh, please do mouth to mouth if it comes to that."
It's all on you, Nate.
Yeah.
Todd, take pictures.
I tell him at work, I'm like, "Sorry, I'm sending you to Brother Jesus. I hope you're saved.
Good luck."
They're like, "What the doctor say is like, you're going to die."
Seriously. "I tried, but I did RPC. I couldn't remember. I did it backwards." Oh, man. Well, we are glad you are back in the studio, and this is a Saturday morning.
So yeah, it is.
It's weird, period.
It feels good.
This is our feel.
Feels really good.
I know.
I like it.
And trust me, I don't get up. I still got up a little bit later, but I'd still be in bed. Yeah. About 11 o'clock, 11:30. Oh,
teenage
creepies.
Kids hours, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm a soon-to-be 52-year-old teenager.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, yes, we are glad to be at it. You know what time it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-oh.
This is why Sean...
I survived for this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
Hey, wait a minute. It's dad joke time. And I know it's, the creepy's favorite part of the show. I mean, of course. It has to be, right?
It's mine.
Yeah. Do you know?
It's great.
Yeah.
I repeat them.
Do you?
I do.
I go to work and tell everybody.
I do.
Do you know what a pickle, how they feel when they think they're self-important? You know, when they think they're, they're a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal. Big deal.
Big deal.
I like that.
Big deal. I heard that not too long ago, and I'm like, oh, I like that. So,
I had somebody share with me a funny one. They said, they said, "Got up early, and I wanted to see the sunrise, and the sun, it didn't rise, and I kept thinking, oh, my gosh, when's the sun ever going to come up? And I don't understand what's going on." And they said, "And then, Sean, it dawned on me." And I was like, you got me. Because I was like, where is this going? And I was like, oh, that's a good one.
And, and I don't want to say it, but we're kind of big deals.
We've always been big deals.
Big something. There you go. That's the dad joke of the show.
That was good.
A little one there. Now, Sean.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to do the announcements.
This is all I got to make it through, right?
That's
right.
And
I'm out.
Then you're done.
I'm going to go take a nap on the couch.
Nate and I'll take it from here.
First part of the announcements. We've said this a bazillion times. We're going to say it a bazillion more times. We are here for the fun. We're here for the creepy. We're here for the paranormal and the guy time. It is awesome. I can say that wholeheartedly right now. But we are always here to support you, to support each other, and raise this community as an emotional support group. We want you to get help if you need it. Everybody needs help at some point, or you know somebody that does. So make sure that you call or text 988 for any and all types of crises. You can also text HOME to the number 741-741. Don't be scared to get help by going to counseling. Counseling is important. It is something that, honestly, we all need at some point, if not all the time. Find one that you feel comfortable with, and sometimes it might take a few times to find the right counselor. Okay? So stay off those islands, right?
That's right.
Also, something that we like to point out, because it is a big deal out there, is bullying.
A big deal.
A big deal.
It's a big deal.
You like how I put that in there? I know. I want to see if you get it. Take a bite out of that, right?
I pay attention sometimes.
Always thinking. Visit. That's all those medicines they gave me in the hospital, right? Visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with bullying. Also, reach out to the Facebook group if you need prayers or a word of encouragement. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Feel free to use that.
Which we personally used.
Which we did. We put that into action, didn't we?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Man.
You're welcome.
Oh, man.
Thanks. No thanks.
So Amy and I, last night, Friday night, we did, we watched, I don't know, we finished Big Sky, and then we watched Truth Be Told. That's a good series, a little crime series. I don't know if I told you about that. Anyway, well, we had waited way too long to start our, was it the fourth or fifth season of Cobra Kai? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you remember in the third movie, Mike Barnes, he was the bad guy. He was the younger guy.
And
he was, And so they brought him back in the episode that we watched, third or fourth, right? And I always like to look up their ages. How old is he? 56.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's a young man.
Terry Silver, the real tall, he had the ponytail and all that. He's 60. So anyway, they're all like in their 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I was looking up, and I like to look up some, like, what's their personal life and all that. And
so you like the stats?
I love.
No.
I do.
The stat.
I love
stat looking up,
like, yeah. And like where they're from and all this stuff. And the guy that plays Mike Barnes in the or the show, he is a big advocate for anti-bullying.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. And he has a, you know, like a charity and a website and all that
that's
stuff.
That's cool.
That goes that really is. And yeah. I told him, I thought, that's so awesome. Yeah. So I'm going to look into it.
Does he know about us?
Probably not.
No. You're like, I'm gonna go with no.
Even though we're big deals. Yeah, but I thought, that's cool. Yeah. So he, I like that. I like reading
that's
on,
very
on
cool.
his bio. Yeah. So he's a big anti-bullier. So anyway, but it's funny because like here, you know, he played a real bad guy. And you kind of mm-hmm. get attached to these characters, and they play them so well, and then you're like, oh yeah,
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. an actor.
Well, yeah, just right? like Back to the Future, Biff.
Oh yeah,
yes. Like, totally.
Bully of all bullies.
Yeah.
And in real life, he's
a sweetheart.
He's a sweetheart
oh,
comedian.
Yeah.
He's funny. Awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen his video where he's on stage and he's playing he sings some type of song. It's funny, and he's playing mm-hmm. a guitar. I'm like, he's talented.
Oh yeah,
he's an entertainer. He's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, anti-bullying. Thank you, Sean, for that.
You're most welcome.
Kind of brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah. that I was able to make it through.
Yeah. So, thank you for that. We got some special announcements, as always. The Mako Live Show, we are going to have that on October 7th. It is the Mako Presents Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show. It's going to be on Saturday, October 7th from 5 to 9. Joining us will be special guest, paranormal investigator and friend of the show, Aaron Egnatz, and paranormal author and also friend of the show, Micah Campbell. The live show will be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana, not too far from downtown Indy, about 40 minutes west of Indianapolis. We do have tickets for sale. They're only $15. You can go on the Eventbrite website. Just search Middle Aged and Creeped Out and you'll find it. There will be food and drinks, merch for sale, fun prizes to give away, and we're going to have some cool lights, lasers, some great music, and some other cool special effects. Of course, you'll be able to meet and visit with all the guests and take pictures if you'd like. It's going to be an absolute awesome and fun show, so hope to see you there. Mako will also be part of the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show at the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana, which is just north of Indy. We're going to be with the host, of course, Hillbilly Horror Stories with Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and the Tragedy of Cinema podcast will be there. That time of the show is 6 to 10. Tickets are on sale for only $25, and you can go to the Eventbrite website by searching Hillbilly Horror Stories, or you can click on the Hillbilly Horror Stories website, and it directs you to that Eventbrite link. Let's see. They're getting close. I think we've got.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
What Jerry mm-hmm. said the other day, about half sold.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So get your tickets, and it's going to be a fun time. You might be able to sit in a jail cell mm-hmm. watching the show. So that's kind of cool and different. And then lastly, I have flipped my notes over. We are going to be doing. It's coming close too. We're going to be doing a Mako on location at the Indiana State Sanatorium. The date of that is Saturday. April 22nd is from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
That's going
to
be fun.
If you want to, yeah, and you can come out, and it's free if you want to hang out or whatever, but if you want to investigate and check out the actual buildings, tickets are $25, but you pretty much have it all to yourself. You can roam mm-hmm. around and check the buildings as much as you want and yep. all that fun stuff.
We were there once, and it's an awesome place to go walk around.
It is awesome.
It's wild.
Yeah, it is wild. So we encourage you to come out. Yeah, just go to the Indiana State Sanatorium website, get your tickets. The guys and I will be recording some episodes, and then afterwards, we plan on doing an investigation. It's going to be a good time. Mm-hmm. We will also have some fun giveaways for those that come out and see us. So come out, say hello, hang out, and check out the creepy and historical Indiana State Sanatorium.
Ooh. I think it'll be amazing. Like, it's amazing how much stuff is around there. Like, stuff mm-hmm. from all kinds. You talked about it, I think, before, too,
yeah.
about how many decades worth of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just lying
around.
That's
the fun part. You pull up or grab a piece of paper and you're like, oh, okay, 2009. Okay, whatever. You know, then the next one could be 1974.
Right.
And it's 1969 and 89. And
then
very surreal.
It's like there's no rhyme.
The first building that you sort of come across is, what was it? The director's mansion or whatever. Yeah.
And it's really cool.
It's really cool, but there's nothing in there.
No.
She's like, oh, okay, this is cool. But then every other building, there is stuff
chocked full of stuff
everywhere. It's wild.
Patient records, financial records, just stuff. Just personal belongings.
Wheelchairs, chairs, refrigerators.
Shirts hanging medicine in the closet. Medicine trays. Yeah. Clothes hanging. You're like, look at this jacket, old sweater, or whatever.
Wasn't there that witch?
Crazy.
Wasn't there that little witch, or am I thinking, or was that Waverly?
No,
was
that
Waverly?
No, that was, no, this,
that was there. It went off and scared
him. I've got it on video.
Yeah,
that scared the crap out of me.
I just remembered that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walked by like, and goes, I'm like, what's going on?
Oh my gosh.
I'm like,
I'd almost forgotten about that.
Talk about make my heart race. I was like,
I bet it's still there.
Yeah. I've actually got the video on that because we played it again and it's pretty obnoxious. Yeah. Somebody said it there on purpose.
Scare you.
Yeah. So come out and check. It's going to be fun. And then I will say, lastly, we have been discussing some other on locations and some fun stuff for 2023. So we'll nail those down, and as we go further into the year, we'll make those announcements. So we've got some fun things.
Fun, busy year.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that still part of being a big deal?
Big deal. You know what? I'm going to mention it.
I know who, but not what.
I'm going to mention it today. I'm going to mention it today, or on this episode. Remember the screenshot I sent you guys the other day about a certain city that has been showing? They've been showing the love for a few months now.
I do.
But they were number two, I think, when I sent you that screenshot. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of tease it. We might be planning a live show next year. It'll be 2024 in St. Louis.
Yes.
For the love that they are showing us. They are loving the podcast, and we appreciate that. So whoever's out there in St. Louis, thank you.
Well, I can give a shout out, and this is something that I had to talk to you guys about because I've been a little busy. But a friend of mine,
selfish,
a fellow brother, his name is David Clark. Dave Clark. He lives out in St. Louis, or in the outskirts of St. Louis, and he went to high school with me. He graduated my brother's class, so 3 years ahead of me. But he and I have been able to communicate recently, the last few years, actually, kind of connected very serendipitously. I'll say it that way. But he's out there. He has kids. He lives a life that is just so interesting to me. And he has started to put videos out on YouTube, and it's called "Today is a New Day to Start Again." And he started just with this like ability to be grateful. And he said he's been through some rough stuff. He's been through a lot of things. But he, in these videos I've been watching, I'm like, dude, I love this because it is. And I've told him, I'm like, you should maybe take this into like podcast or full-time YouTube kind of ideas, because it is interesting to follow somebody in their life. And you don't, he's like, I don't want to be like whining about, poor, oh, woe is me. I want to focus. Yeah, there's been a couple of difficulties, but I'm grateful. And him putting that out there, he said, like, I don't even know if anybody's listening or caring.
Check him out.
You should. It's really good. He just sits there. He does a lot of Uber Eats. So he did like a full hour. He's on Tuesdays. He's starting to, because he listens to us. He said on Tuesdays, I'm going to start doing like longer episodes and talking about this gratitude business and how it's helping. And he said, just doing it for a couple of weeks, he's like, it is doing him so much good. He goes, I look forward to it. It's just, he said, I don't even care if anybody doesn't listen. But he said he's had somebody from like the UK and Canada and like different parts of the world like reach out to him. And he's like, how are they even finding me? I'm just this little guy from St. Louis. But I'm not saying he's all of our listens there, but I know he's listening. So anyway, shout out to David Clark. And his Today is a New Day to Start Again. Look for him on YouTube. He's just starting this group, and he says, it's just for me. I'm just doing this for me. But I told him, I'm like, dude, you could honestly take that into something bigger and really help people. And that's all he wants. He doesn't care about anything
very
else,
cool.
But,
very
so
cool.
Good for him.
Send me a link or something.
I will.
So I want to check that out. So
I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Dave. And of course, we've got our friend Scarlett Hoffman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Her mom and dad live in St. Louis. So they're showing the love. So it was something I'm like, we might want to do a fun road trip for a live show. That'd be cool. I've never been to St. Louis, period. So it'd be kind of fun.
Man, it's a cool town.
Yeah. So we'll kick it around. And like I said, we've got a lot of cool stuff for 2023 still. Mm-hmm. It's only not even March yet. So it's going to be a fun year. And that's the fun part about this is as we get further into doing our podcast, we can start doing other things and trying things like on locations and live shows and all that. So
getting more creative. And
Yeah. It's going to be fun. So with that said, I'm done with my announcements. So,
you done?
Sean, why don't you tell our creepies what we're going to talk about?
Well, we are going to talk about something that is going to be near and dear to Nate's heart, because this is Nate's pick, and it is Haunted Alexandria, Virginia. Or Virginia. VA. Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alexandria Ball.
Back in October, me and my youngest, Dane, did the whole school Washington, D.C. trip. And part of that trip, we did an evening walking ghost story event at Alexandria.
That's cool.
And it was really awesome. So I was like, we have to do a show on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
We're glad you went, Nate, and gave us that idea. We're glad you
joined. Yeah.
Well, Jen had said that too. She's like, when are you guys ever going to talk about Alexandria? I'm like, it's on our list to do. But she said, they've got really good stories there. I'm like, yes, yes, they do.
Just a tad. Just a tad. Yeah.
Just a few.
And it's been a minute, so I don't remember verbatim all the stories. So
the old memory's got to kick back in.
Yeah, so as we go through these stories, and if it is one that they went over and whatever pops in my head, I will put my little personal touch on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're just starting it, why don't you tell that story about the what we were talking about before we started recording? About with the teachers and what?
Oh,
where they were sitting? Okay. Or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Let me look real quick.
Yeah.
It was at the graveyard of a church. And I'd like to find the name of this church.
But it was Alexandria.
Yes, okay. It was Alexandria.
You know, when...
And,
yeah, because I remember you telling us a few months ago, and it's a good story.
it was funny.
It's funny.
Because, you know...
And I know the people involved.
Yeah.
Most of them, anyway.
And, you know, it's... We were...
Because
we have this podcast, so obviously I'm into the creepy, and we've had some investigations on our belt and that kind of stuff. So, and just my nature, most times I don't. It takes a lot to make me jump scare. So
yeah, you don't freak out.
Yes,
immediately.
So where we were at was. It's sort of like two, I guess it's sort of like a campus, but there's the Basilica of St. Mary and then the old Presbyterian meeting house and then another little building. And so it's a church. There are, I believe, if I remember correctly, like soldiers buried there, but there are so many people buried there. We're sitting there, and our tour guide was like, there's so many people buried here that you're standing on them or sitting on them right now. And the teachers, like, jumped, like, because they're sitting in the grass.
Oh, yeah. Like, right.
Most of the bodies in here don't have a headstone, so they're all over in this little courtyard.
Pretty much where you're sitting or standing, you're probably...
Yeah,
you're not safe anywhere.
They jumped, and like got on the sidewalk, and she's like, "Yeah, they're under the sidewalk too." Like,
that is great. Yeah, that's
my favorite story. Actually,
yeah, you're not going to get away from them.
So as we're there, they're telling us the story. There's one, sort of like a, I don't know what you call it, like tabletop crypt type thing up against the wall of the one church. And it's
tabletop
the most
crib. That sounds funny.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like a tabletop type thing. Yeah. You know, no, I get whatever it is. Vault. And there's I believe a soldier buried there. There's a window to the church right above it. And they say that like one of the stories is either A, you take a picture of that area and you'll see the soldier standing, you know, a wispy outline of him or whatever, or you see a face in the window or, you know, little odds and ends like that.
It's like the Jim Morrison thing.
Right? That, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And that's like the teachers were standing close to that spot, so then they start inching away from there. Then
and you're just enjoying this.
Yeah. Like, well, and everybody by that time knew that we had this podcast, and I've been on investigations and dealt with some paranormal stuff, and so... They're constantly coming to me. So what about this? What about that? What do we do here? What do we, you know? It's like calm down. Yeah, there's nothing going on. It's fine. And so another thing is the one church with the bell tower, on the east side of this little courtyard, the two stairways that go up, like people will take pictures there, and you'll see orbs, or you'll see a silhouette of a person or a shadow person. So there's, you know, chances and opportunities to capture something there too. Mm-hmm. So as, and I probably still have the picture. I think she posted it. But the one teacher, she was taking picture of the church and the bell tower, and that thing goes off.
Oh,
and all wow. the picture is a blur because she jumps and screams.
Man,
timing is everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
That'll get
but
your
while
attention.
We're there, you know, they're taking pictures of the kids and, you know, everybody around there. And the one teacher, she was getting orbs in
wow.
the photos
yeah.
by
oh, okay.
the kids and stuff.
Okay. I don't remember that part. I remember most of what you'd said, but
mm-hmm.
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't think I knew
so,
that.
So, yeah, of course, that shows up on her camera, and she comes running over to me. Oh, my gosh, what are these? What's this? Look at this. And
I'm so like, it wasn't in real time. She just saw them on after she had taken them.
No, this was while we're there. She was reviewing her pictures.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
she went
yeah.
like at Whisper
not,
State. We
not
were
as she was looking
right,
at it,
right.
yeah.
And Nate was the paranormal
cool.
expert, which
that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious.
And you're having
us our expert.
Yeah. Oh,
remember
yeah,
you
I was laughing and giggling the entire way.
The three of us are expert nothing, at least as
yeah.
far as this goes. But.
More than they were, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
That's great.
That is a
step
above.
Yeah, you might have something there. But yeah, I mean, there were, like, you know, lights and stuff, so I don't know if it was a light reflection off the camera lens or whatever. I mean,
who knows?
Aaron Ignatz would be proud, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like the
and Christina
the bell chime to win.
Oh, yeah. And then that picture. If I can find it, we can put it on.
That's funny.
Like the...
So funny.
Our posting of what
okay.
this episode is.
Yeah, send it
yeah,
to
Yeah, it's just a blur of a church.
Great <That's> picture. <funny. laughs> Good stuff. That is good stuff. That's a good story. I've got a little quick story here to start it off, too.
Okay.
This is called Gatsby's Tavern. It was established in 1785. Gatsby's Tavern has tales to tell. As a port city, Alexandria provided food and lodging to many seamen and travelers. Two mysterious travelers, a man and a woman, stopped at the port because the woman was ill. Tended to by the wives of two locals, no one, not even the doctor, was allowed to see the woman's face. She died a few weeks later in her room, and that's where the mystery thickens. The man had her buried in a nearby cemetery with a headstone simply naming her Female Stranger. The story has speculations... the story and speculation surrounding the restaurant and hotel add mystery to the history of the Alexandria Tavern. Who was this mystery woman? Speculations range from a politician's runaway daughter, maybe a woman kidnapped by pirates, and a tale of unrequited love. From black magic, love triangles, to pirate kidnapping, the tales of the Female Stranger abound. Her ghost frequents room 8, where she died. Says she stands at the window, holding a candle, looking longingly for the life she once had that few knew. She roams the halls of the inn, and she also searches for the man who stayed by her side until she died. So that is the Gatsby Tavern.
Hmm.
Gatsby's, I guess. So, yeah, pretty creepy.
Spooky, right?
Spooky.
I think most people are going to know what Alexandria is and where it's at, but just in case there are people out there that don't know, whether it be in this country or around the world, Alexandria is an independent city in the northern region of the Commonwealth of Virginia, the United States, right?
It's just outside of Washington, D.C.
That's right. It lies on the western bank of the Potomac River, approximately 7 miles south of downtown Washington, D.C. Alexandria is the third largest principal city of the Washington metropolitan area, which is part of the larger Washington-Baltimore combined statistical area.
And apparently the grid system of the streets and everything... One of the surveyors of that was George Washington himself.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Oh. Who? What? When? Where? What?
You don't say. That's cool.
So, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Even if you don't want to go there for the paranormal and creepy stories and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Just the history.
Just to see the town. It's amazing. It has all the cobblestone sidewalks and streets and... All the houses are, you know, shared walled homes, just lining the streets. It is beautiful.
See, that's how we felt about Savannah. Take out all the paranormal
just the history.
Oh my god,
it's still an awesome town.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the same thing that the cobblestone roads or streets and just the buildings and the houses and just like, oh my gosh. I said, I didn't see a piece of trash anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like they take care of that city, and so
and like this still has like the stone gutters. So like
oh, wow.
your waste
yeah.
and stuff back in the day, you just throw it out there
yeah.
and run down the gutters.
Wow. Yeah.
That's some history right there.
That's some history. That's some history.
They have Alexandra has a ghost tour pub crawl, and it's on nightlyspirits.com, but they say that it's a really neat tour. I think it's 2.5 hours guided tour,
yeah.
And they show a lot of the different haunted spots around Alexandria. That would be really fun to do. I love a good ghost tour, right? I've only done one technically, I guess, but I'd love to do more.
I have a story of the Sleeping Beauty House. This is one I did not hear while I was there. One person explained that they lived in a house from the 1700s, and there was an antique spinning wheel in the attic. The family who built the house had a difficult man as their patriarch, and he refused to let his daughter date or marry. The woman channeled her anger into her spinning wheel, and to this day, it will spin from time to time on its own. The new owners have even moved the sizable wooden wheel to other parts of the house, only for it to be mysteriously shown back up in the attic overnight, unheard by the sleeping family members. The same house also has an incident where the sheets were violently ripped off by the sleeping family members. They quickly left the house after that.
You don't say. Yeah, we're out.
Where's
like
my sheet?
Good idea.
Give me my sheet back.
Scare the sheet out of them. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, this place, man, I'm telling you. When I started doing the research and looking at all the stories, I'm like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's like Savannah. It's just endless.
Like this article I'm basing or getting all my stories off of right now. It's the website's DC Ghosts, and it says Alexandria is known for ghost stories on every corner.
Yeah. I would say like the Alexandria, Savannah, and Charleston, South Carolina, those cities. They just pick one.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you got anything there, Sean?
Yeah, I got the Schaefer House on North Fairfax Street.
Mm-hmm.
The building at...
This is one we saw. This is the very first story that they told
okay,
us.
Okay, cool.
The building at 107 North Fairfax was owned by a confectioner in 1868 when tragedy struck, a tragedy that would leave behind a tormented ghost to haunt the building no matter what kind of business made its home there. The newspaper article from the incident reads that a young woman had a horrible accident with a kerosene lamp that broke while she carried it. It doused her in oil, and she promptly lit a blaze. By the time she was put out, it was too late, as her injuries were far too severe. The young girl's boyfriend took his own life only hours after the death of his love in a liquor store on the same street. According to the book Ghosts of Alexandria by Michael Lee Pope, not only are the ghosts of these two sometimes spotted in the business on the street, but often a sense of sadness and melancholy is felt around the area.
Hmm.
Awesome and awful.
So you said that was you saw that one?
Yes, we saw the house.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
This one, I had that one pulled up too. This is saying that after she got splashed by the fire and she ran to the door to escape, but the humidity of the air had swollen the door shut. And I remember that from the stories. The fiance, because they're due to get married, he ran up the stairs to try to break into the door, and they couldn't get the door open.
Oh man, that's rough.
So she managed to get it pulled open finally, and the air fanned the flames, causing her entire body to be engulfed in flame.
Oh,
that is awful.
That is terrible. Yeah,
I take back the awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's an awesome event, but not in a good way.
Right. All right. I just lost my. Story here. Any of you gentlemen want to continue?
Certainly.
I had it pulled up and I just...
I think they said if you're lucky, sometimes you can see in the windows a woman in her wedding gown.
Oh. But not in flames. Wouldn't that be horrible?
Blaze. Woman in white on fire.
That'd be awful. Oh, okay, here it is. I found it. Okay. This one is called The Clock Tower at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Says in 1817, the city of Alexandria built a clock tower at the city hall that became home to the devil bat. I'm in. The creature is said to
that sounds like
the creature is said to protect the area around his home, which includes city hall. It's notorious for the story of terrifying a boatload of thugs that arrived one night. I love that too, thugs, and started riots at the city hall, threatening to destroy it. As the rioting crowd of men caroused up and down King Street, breaking windows and screaming wildly, a bystander called out to the creature, "Devil Bat, Devil Bat, keep this crowd back." Suddenly, out of the dark sky, the Devil Bat swooped down upon them from the bell tower. The men all ran for their lives, saving City Hall. Some say a huge skunk lay dead in the road after the encounter. It's believed it was the skunk that scared the men away. Whether it was the bat in the belfry or a dead skunk in the middle of the road, the Devil Bat legend is part of the history of the City Hall bell tower to be told for years to come.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Devil Bat.
You got Devil Bat.
Bats in your belfry.
Woo, I like it.
We got the missing doctor.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
In the early 1800s, a doctor went missing, presumed dead. Occupants of his home came and went over the years until the new tenants arrived in the 1970s. The family found themselves having terrifying nightmares every night since they had moved into the house. They were at their wits' end due to lack of sleep and the fear from these creepy dreams. Frustrated and wanting answers, one family member decided to look around the house to see if anything was causing the night terrors. He heads into the house's basement and discovers a hidden well. This is one that we talked about on our ghost tour.
Oh, nice.
Once he pried the lid off the well, the stench of death made him almost sick. In the bottom of the well was a corpse in a crumbled heap. He was dressed from the 1800s and had a knife sticking out of one of his empty eye sockets.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, this okay. is one of the stories, and they said that one particular tenant, because I think they sort of made the building to like an apartment complex type thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I believe the story went that she woke up and hovering above her was this entity of this guy.
Oh, wow. That'd be scary.
Like hovering over top of
imagine?
Her.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Be like Ghostbuster stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This little story didn't go into it, but I believe our tour guide said that like all the dreams were dreams of him trying to tell them where he was at.
Oh, okay.
And so finally someone finally put it all together and as they said, went down into the basement, found this well and found his body.
Oh,
and
then, wow. Murder mystery, right?
I think she after his body's been found and laid to rest and all that kind of stuff, that all the hauntings have stopped.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
That's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a cool story. I like it.
I've got one, Yates Garden. Another interesting story mentioned in Ghosts of Alexandria is that of the house located at 414 Franklin Street in Yates Gardens. There's some historical confusion about whether this house was once a tavern where George Washington visited to celebrate Independence Day back in 1798, or if that tavern was located elsewhere. Nonetheless, there are still some spirits in this residence. Some people have spotted a soldier inside the house. Richard Dow, one person who has owned the home at 414 Franklin Street, I don't know why I can't read that, reporting experiencing all sorts of spooky feelings. He's heard footsteps when no one was around, felt drafts where there should be none, and never felt alone when he was the only one that was home.
Mm.
So, ooh, yeah, all kind of creepy stuff.
What was the name of it again?
It was Yates Gardens.
Yates Gardens. Okay.
Yates Gardens.
Yikes.
Yikes. All right.
I got one here. Green's Mansion House. The John Carlyle House is a well-known building in Alexandria, but it did not always occupy the double lots alone. Directly in front of the house once stood Green's Mansion, also known as the Braddock Hotel. The hotel is long gone, but ghosts from the few who died there still haunt the property. Some believe they've seen the ghost inside Carlyle House as well. It says, when used as a hospital in 1862, a young Union soldier jumped to his death. Fevered and delirious, he was being chased. His spirit remains around the property along with his painful cries. In 1905, it's unknown what a visiting guest was doing on the platform above the courtyard. However, he somehow plummeted to his death. Guests of the Braddock House found his body, and he had reportedly been dead around 12 hours before being seen. His ghost roams the courtyard in confusion, a common occurrence when a spirit doesn't realize it died. And then lastly, when Patrick Buckley came to Alexandria and became a historic tour guide, little did he know his fate would be sealed. Said to be drunk, Patrick stepped from a window and fell to his death. Patrick's ghost is seen on the grounds as well. He, too, may not realize what happened and that he died. Those are sad.
That was very sad. That was the last stop of the tour.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
The Green's Mansion.
Mm-hmm. And funny story, as the tour guide was going through all these stories, and the tour company that we went through was phenomenal. They're dressed in, 1700s.
Oh, period clothing, yeah.
Period clothing, cool. Carrying the lantern. Oh, it was awesome.
Fun.
And as she is telling those stories and how the ghost, because the front of this yard, and this is unusual because, like I said earlier, a lot of the houses are shared walled homes and there's no yards.
Yeah, right.
This one was a double lot and whatever, and had a front yard, and it has a brick fence line in the front, so it makes it a courtyard. As we're in this courtyard in the grass, she was the entire tour. What do you call them? Manager or whatever, or she owned the tour company entire Washington D.C. trip.
Gotcha.
She was one of the owners or whatever, and she was the with us in our group, and so she's been on this ghost tour numerous times. She knows everything, what's going to happen, what the stories are. So there's one kid.
I like it already.
she would sneak up and tap him like on his neck with I can't remember what she had, like a twig or something like that, and kept tickling his back of his head or whatever. And she'd come stand next to me, and mm-hmm. we'd watch him. He'd turn around. He's like, and then the tour guide would continue with the stories and how the spirits roam the courtyard right here, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff, and then she'd step over there and touch him again, and
oh man.
And
oh,
he was like, God. He was freaking out. He's like, there's something here. There's something here.
It's going after me. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
I love funny. That they're That's so fun. Rich in all these stories and all this history, but it's super spooky and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tragedy, especially this last one.
Yeah.
Guys jumping to their death and then they're confused and not sure what's
going
on.
Well, I think the one was it from the house to to the building that's not there anymore. That was I guess a bar or hotel type thing. I believe it burnt down, but it had a catwalk from the mansion over to that building. And that's where people would get drunk or whatever and fall to their death.
Oh my gosh.
Into the courtyard.
Yeah. Not trying to commit suicide, just mm-hmm. being drunk and losing their balance. Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Did we cover the Woodlawn
plantation? We did not.
Okay. I didn't think so. Okay. So Woodlawn Plantation, touted as one of the most haunted places in Virginia, Woodlawn Plantation is another ghost story that ties to ex-presidents. Watch out.
Uh-oh.
The presidential connection here is that the home was originally built in 1805 for Martha Washington's granddaughter. There has been many owners since the plantation was erected, and some of them seem to be hanging around after death. From the rumors that George Washington himself has haunted the halls of Woodlawn, to the idea that the well in the basement is where many of the spirits come from, Woodlawn is rife with ghosts, according to Ghosts of Alexandria. It says, if you visit and hope to see ghosts, ask if the lid is off the well. So they must keep a lid on it.
Ooh. Oh,
keep a lid on it.
I've been told to keep a lid on it, but
right, but not in that way.
I rarely listen. I like it. What you got, Nate?
The whore on Saint.
The what?
The horror.
Oh, horror!
Horror!
Okay. Horror!
Okay, I want to make sure we
not with a W.
Not W H.
On Saint S.
Hold on.
Asphalt.
I don't know how you say that. It's ASAP, right?
ASAP.
I don't know how you say that.
It might be ASAP.
ASAPH, so it's ASAP, I guess.
ASAP Street.
I'm glad you did this one.
Yeah.
So we got the horror.
I knew I was going to butcher this one.
That's great.
I love it.
This is what you get when you get Saturday recordings.
Yeah. In early 1900s, a man named Clem fell madly in love with a woman named Rose. She didn't feel the same affection towards him.
Oh boy.
In fact, she was interested in the local butcher and hoped to start a relationship with him. Clem's anger about his rejection and jealousy over seeing her flirting with the local butcher made him snap one day, determined that no other man would have her. If he couldn't, he attacked her in her home and cut her throat.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
Confident that he would now be able to share the afterlife with her, he then slit his own throat. Ironically, he hadn't cut deep enough, and Rose survived the encounter with some blood loss. If you find yourself walking down St. Asaph's Street and hear footsteps approaching from behind, you need to turn around quickly. It's most likely Clem with his bloody razor coming to find Rose and finish the job. Or, if he can't find her, he may take you instead.
Oh, that is awesome.
I like Clem.
I'm going with awesome on that one.
I did not hear any footsteps behind, running up behind me.
Pitter,
so
pitter,
that's,
patter,
that's good.
Pitter, that's good. It's real good. Yeah, Clem doesn't sound like a good guy.
No.
No.
In life or in the spirit realm. Clem. Here's one. The Ghost of Red Hill.
Ooh.
The haunting on Red Hill begins with a reclusive couple who once lived high up on the bluff. The husband was a captain, and life on the open sea was by no means glamorous. Disease, pirates, and unscrupulous captains on a mission to undercut the enemies, coming home after a journey was a hopeful expectation that often went unfulfilled. Like many sea captains, women who waited for their husbands to come home from sea, this particular story had the ultimate dreaded conclusion. This captain did not return from good grief. This captain did not return home one day. No one knows why he did not return. Theories evolved he was struck with an illness or he had died at sea. So overcome with grief, the woman decided she couldn't go on without her captain. She shot herself in the garden. Her ghost still roams through the small remaining patch of gardens she once tended, waiting for her captain to come home. It's said she is saddened and won't speak to anyone. She also disappears when approached. She lived in seclusion in life and now lives in seclusion in death.
Oh, that's aww. So sad.
Mm. Sad. Mm.
Did we talk about, I have to keep asking because there's so many of these stories that I keep.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories.
Crisscrossing. Monarch at Carl Ross Plantation.
No.
So Carl Ross Plantation originally stood at 1111 Oronico Street, but was moved to New Jersey. While the old plantation home may have been shipped off, the ghosts still hang around that location in Alexandria. In the place of the Carl Ross Plantation now stands the Monarch. The Mason family occupied the plantation in the mid-1800s. According to legend, two of the Mason children to occupy the home, one boy and one girl, died on or near the property. The boy, William, died when a storm came through and crumbled the chicken coop he hid in on top of him. The girl, Anne, drowned during a bath shortly after. Both children have been seen at the Monarch.
Mm.
Poor kids. That's I don't like those ones with the kids. But
I know.
Got to report them. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Part of the story, right?
That's right.
You got something, Nate?
Just the facts.
Just the facts, man.
Yeah. Not at the current. I am looking for a specific story that I remembered from the tour. But I don't want to butcher it.
Okay.
Well, not to reference my last story. But.
Okay.
I would like to just, I want to point out that we keep talking about, or at least I keep mentioning the Ghosts of Alexandria book. It's a book by Michael Lee Pope. It's got, almost 5 stars. Sorry.
Oh, cool.
Couldn't count my stars. But it looks really good on Amazon. So
what is it?
$21.99 paperback. Ghosts of Alexandria.
Ghosts of Alexandria.
Michael Lee Pope. So I don't know him. We're not making any money off of this, but a lot of the stories that we're referencing, or at least I've been talking about on it shows that he has this really good book. So
nice.
Shout out to him.
I've got Colonel Swope's Townhouse. Colonel Michael Swope was a commander of the Pennsylvania Brigade of the Continental Army captured by the British in 1776. He endured several years of incarceration. His disdain for all things British was immense. After Swope was released, he packed up his family and moved to Alexandria in 1784. Swope built his dream home with luxuries such as crown molding throughout the house, a music room, and a library. A garden wall put in by Swope and his neighbor remains today. When Swope died, his body was shipped to Philadelphia and laid to rest in the family vault. However, his presence returned to his home when a yellow fever epidemic was caused for the vault to be dug up and moved. From that moment on, ghost sightings became common. The ghost of Colonel Swope wearing his colonial uniform has answered the door of the townhouse to greet guests upon their arrival. That's awesome. How you doing, sir? Wait a minute. You look a little different.
I'm like, what the heck?
Why is my hand going through you to shake your hand?
So. You talked about the old stone house, right? Did you guys talk about that? My gosh, I'm going to catch up, I promise, on one of these. But they were in this article, it's interesting. A name popped out at me, so I have to mention this. It says, the history of the old stone house, colonial era. It's the oldest unchanged building in the District of Columbia, the city's last pre-revolutionary building on its original foundation. It's found in a Georgetown neighborhood, which was experiencing a boom of people as the capital was taking shape, and it became a port for selling tobacco. Built in 1765 by Christopher and Rachel Layman, spelled just how I do, L-A-Y-M-A-N, is an example of vernacular architecture. Its thick stone walls were built from stone quarried a few miles away, and the ballast stone from the hues of English ships. The ships would ride the Potomac River up to the port in Georgetown, and ballast stones kept the boats at proper buoyancy. Stones would be offloaded or added depending on the ship's cargo weight. So anyway, it talks about that. This is, yeah, that old stone house is pretty creepy. It's very historic. Yeah, there's a lot of different ghost stories and haunted this and that and there and orbs. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. But I like that stuck out at me. It's like the layman's build it.
Well, you said Rachel, so it just needed to say Nate and Rachel.
Nate and Rachel, yeah, right? Wait, that would have been interesting. Wait, what?
Okay, I think I might have found what I need.
Okay.
On this site, they're calling this story a bonus. Fantastic Phantoms, Old Town Alexandria is the site. The story of pink lemonade. Back in the colonial period, ice was, I think I remember the tour guide saying something about pink lemonade. Okay. Back in the colonial period, ice was a little harder to come by than today. It would be sent on barges down the Potomac River and then kept in an ice house where the locals would come by, buy it by the pound. Ice was also used to preserve dead bodies. One could rent a slab of it to put that stiff on ice. It'll keep the body from decomposing too badly, and then return it. I guess they mean return the ice. If someone passed away, I believe in the winter or whatever, the ground was frozen, they couldn't dig graves.
So they'd keep them, literally keep them on ice.
Yeah, they'd put the body on ice, you know. when the owner of the local tavern bought some ice for his bar, he didn't realize he was getting the used stuff.
Oh.
One night, he sent his tavern servant down to their ice well to fetch the recent purchased ice. Well, that boy wasn't the brightest of the bunch, and he brought up some not-so-clean ice. Mm. Soon customers started commenting on the unusual taste and pinkish hue of the drinks that evening. The tavern owner quickly realized what was happening. They were drinking the ice that had held a dead body. Cleverly thinking on his feet, he added a little sugar and lemon, and voila, pink lemonade.
Oh, that's a great story. So I'll have a Billy Bob on ice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we were
that's gross, man.
Standing on one of the corners, and she pointed across the street, and that was the old ice house.
Okay.
And I think her story was a little bit more particular. It was a certain woman or whatever, and yeah, it's. I think the story went like they didn't get their normal shipment of ice, so then they're running low on ice, so then they had to
improvise
and they started into
what a way to improvise.
The dead body ice.
So I like pink lemonade. I don't order it a lot, but my kids do. Like when we go out,
tell them the history of pink lemonade.
I would have kicked that kid in the ice hole.
What an ice hole.
I'll tell you right now. That is gross, but very good to tell.
Super gross.
Yeah, that's awesome. Ooh, man. They're like, this doesn't taste right.
It tastes funny. Hey, sugar. Lemonade? Yeah. Pink lemonade. There you go.
Ugh. Sugar and spice and everything dead, huh? That's gross, man. They say the historic center of Alexandria is known as the Old Town of Alexandria, or simply Old Town. With its concentration of boutiques, restaurants, antique shops, and theaters, it's a major draw for all who live in Alexandria as well as its visitors. Like Old Town, many Alexandria neighborhoods are compact and walkable. It is the sixth largest and highest income independent city in Virginia. A large portion of adjacent Fairfax County, mostly south, but also west of the city, has Alexandria mailing addresses. However, in this area, under the jurisdiction of Fairfax County's government, separate from that independent city, it says that city is therefore sometimes referred to as the city of Alexandria to avoid the confusions of the neighborhoods. So it's kind of weird, you know, like we know what that's like, you know, the city, and then there's cities around it that it's still part of it, kind of, but not exactly. But it also goes into the early history of who lived in that area. I know you guys are going to be shocked, but according to archaeologists, estimates a succession of indigenous peoples began to occupy the Chesapeake and Tidewater region about 3,000 to 10,000 years ago. Various Algonquin-speaking peoples inhabited the lands in the Potomac River drainage area since at least the early 14th century. So, Indian tribes were there. Indian tribal, there's plenty of burial grounds, plenty of spooky stories that way too. So there was some different, not anything specific, but like, you know, haunted ghost stories about different Indians, you know, being sighted stuff too. But that's not uncommon in a lot of these places.
Well, I read a story about one of the owners of these haunted tour guides.
Yeah.
And he said that he gets a lot of spooky stories from homeowners around there, but they don't want the attention brought on their house,
which is understandable.
So,
cause you don't want people.
Yeah. So he does try to dance around. Trying to tell the stories, but then not, you know, show exactly what home or, you know, stuff like that, trying to protect their privacy that they want.
If our house, well, did I ever tell you guys, like even off air, I don't know if I mentioned it, definitely probably didn't mention it on air, but the house that we live in, we bought it in 2008. Yeah, okay, so 2008, and it had sat empty for a year, and it was a HUD home.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amy even went to school with the Clements was the builder.
Okay.
Clement Electric.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then there's I don't know, five or six families live there. And then there's another family that I know you probably know the name. I've drawn a blank. Oh, it's Corey. They named the streets after his.
Harden.
Harden, thank you. Yep. So so it sat empty for a year, and the previous owners, it was a guy and a girl. They weren't married or engaged. He got killed in a motorcycle accident, and she couldn't keep the house. She just couldn't keep up with the payments and all that. Yeah. So she just turned it back over, you know, to the mortgage company. And I always thought, man, that'd be sad story about that. I wonder if, you know, we'd ever get, when I heard that about talking about haunted house, you know, and like I think
trying to come home and find her.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, gosh, I'm like, if we had some type of haunting going on, everybody's gonna know about it. I'm like, check it out, man. This is
big neon signs.
Yeah,
arrows here, pointing.
Haunted here.
Come check it out.
No, but I was like, man, what?
And
if
then they're gonna say, isn't that guy with that podcast?
Oh yeah, sure,
Todd.
No, but it's a. I was like, oh, because her dad was a real estate agent at that time, and so he got us the house. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it was our agent.
That's interesting.
And when he told us that, I was like, oh man, I'm like, that's sad. And I'm like,
creepy.
What if, what if he comes?
Sold. I'll take it.
I know. Oh, it's got a possible ghost. Excellent. But anyway, no, I get it. I mean, I don't know if we did have like something I thought it might be haunted. I don't know if I'd advertise it a whole lot, but you know, maybe friends and stuff, but not the whole town of Plainfield.
That's right.
You know,
well, that's one thing that the tour guides, like, you know, tried to get into these middle school kids that are yipping and hollering, and that, you know, we are walking in neighborhoods and we need to try to keep the volume down and be respectful of the homeowners. And
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Kids can, You can get a little wild.
Mm-hmm.
They can forget you about
it. Especially when it's night.
You don't say.
You're scaring them. And
they're not thinking
but
about.
The cool thing about the whole trip was that everybody, I think that everybody, you know, kids and teachers, adults on the trip, were excited, I guess, about doing this, but they were scared. They didn't know really what was going to come of doing this.
Yeah, like, you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It's new, yeah.
So they're scared that they're going to be like just frightened to death.
Yeah, like a haunted house. Like going through like constant. Like,
you know, and so I was, no, it's just a coast tour. It's you're going to walk around the town. And they're going to tell you, point out this building or home and say, this is the story. This is what happens here. This is what people have said.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's not a haunted house.
Yeah, you're not going to be, people aren't jumping out at you every second.
Yeah, and they're not there trying to purposely jump scare you or anything. It's more of a historical event.
Yeah, and then they tell, the legend of the paranormal.
Once we got through all that, we got back to the bus, then everybody's like, that was awesome. I'm going to do that in every town I go.
Yeah, right.
You really could.
It's very interesting.
Every little town or city, most of them have something that, and even just the historical, leave out the paranormal aspect. Mm-hmm. It's fun to learn.
That's what
who lived there and
a good ghost tour is. It's just a history lesson. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, really, but it just with a little spooky.
That was Elijah though. When we booked that ghost tour in Savannah, he didn't ask me. He asked his mom, and she's like, "Hey, Elijah's nervous about tonight." I go, "Why?" "Well, just because of the ghost tour, and he's not sure what to expect." I go, "Oh," so I told him. I said, "Dude, they're not going to scare you. They're going to just tell exactly the history and the ghost stuff, but it's not a haunted attraction. It's not like a haunted house." So
you're not going to see people dressed up in costumes trying to grab you or
right. And so afterwards, he and Olivia loved it. They really liked it. So, yeah,
I love it. We're supposed to do one in New Orleans when we go on.
Yeah, I know. I remember you saying you wanted to do that.
It's going
to
be awesome.
I'm actually really looking forward to that.
You mean New Orleans?
New Orleans.
They have some paranormal.
I didn't know if they had a paranormal, but I know they have vampires.
Oh heck yeah!
Be ready for that,
Sean. What are those two holes on your neck?
That's right, exactly. Yeah, it'll watch me be the one, right?
He'll be like,
the voodoo that you do so well, Sean.
I got a little story here. I think it mentions that female stranger that I had mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then it mentions about
that one comes up a lot.
The tabletop.
Yeah,
you're talking about the tabletop. That's what they're called. Tabletop tombstones.
That's wild.
Okay.
Eat off of them.
This calls weighing down the dead. So the most famous tombstone in the city is that of the famous female stranger outside of Gatsby's Tavern, which I think that was my first story. Its tabletop design is not just a fluke for this one grave. It turns out that this is a common adaptation to living near a river that likes to jump its banks. So the Potomac River has risen so often that wealthy Alexandrians created graves with heavy stone tops to keep the river from sweeping the dead away. The heavy stones also act as places where families can gather and sit or picnic with their ancestors. Those without the heavy stone tombstones might be unfortunate enough to see a family member float by the next time the river flooded.
Oh, man. That is wild.
That would be a little disturbing.
I'm getting the pictures of that, yeah.
Grandpa?
Where are you going, Granny?
So, yeah.
Up the river.
Tabletops. That's what they were called.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. No, I like this. This is a good discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I knew it'd be a good one.
You've
to talk
actually
about.
Remembered a lot. Like,
just going through the story stuff, it's really jump started everything. Like just
been
sitting
pretty
there,
detailed.
Sitting there before we started, and I'm like, I don't remember any of these stories.
Yeah, I know we were there. And
trying to choke myself. I'm
no,
that's spit.
That's pretty darn good. Yeah.
So it was an awesome, awesome time there.
Yeah, Sean, put that on the list.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely want to go there. It'd be fun to go with you guys.
Ah, yeah.
Tabletop.
Yep. I want to see. I don't know if I've seen him.
The old tabletop.
Oh, wow. And that's wild.
It's like the tabletop arcades back
Isn't
in the
that 80s.
Crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pac-Man.
I never liked those. I always liked the stand-up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You like stand-up? Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to go there. Yeah. I would recommend Savannah and definitely go to that guy. Oh, yeah.
That's a clean picture of the church.
Okay, that's
because
what
I took it.
But not the wobbly.
I would love to see the other
wobbly.
One.
That's wobbly.
That's a still picture.
Yes.
That would freak you out, though, if you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
Of all times, you're trying to...
Like I said, the timing is everything.
Well, like as you're like the sidewalk, some of the sidewalk is this brick, and right next to it is tombstones. The graves that are marked.
Literally right there.
Yeah, like they're just right there.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
That's crazy.
And that's why the tour guide, she's like, oh, yeah,
can't get away from
them.
Yeah.
They're under the sidewalks. There's so many burial sites in this little courtyard. There's no clean area.
It's like it's like the Thriller video. They're coming everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like.
Oh, yeah. That's bitter. You can see the other ones in that courtyard.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That is really neat. That's very serene, too, you know?
Yeah.
Might have to, when you drop this episode, maybe use a couple of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, send them to
me. The real pictures from Nate.
Yeah, send this to me.
Yep, tabletop.
Certainly. And this is where that lady, or the girl got caught her wedding dress on fire.
Oh, okay.
Is that building.
Center one?
Yeah. It does. It looks so historic. It just so... I don't know. It looks pretty.
Southern cities, man. They're cool.
They are awesome. Well, I mean, they're old. I mean, they're the first civilizations of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, of our period.
Yeah.
And
we're still compared to Great Britain and all that. We're young, but still, 300 years is 300 years.
So like I've been to Philadelphia. Now I've been to Washington D.C. and Alexandria and. Yeah, I mean, it's so cool seeing that the old architecture and old buildings of our United States history, and it's really neat.
Yeah.
And you go out west and you have ghost towns.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally different landscape and how the towns are currently. Yeah.
I like the name Alexandria just in general. And then I also...
It's a pretty name.
And then it makes me think of the Library of... Alexandria, which sometime we're going to have to talk about. So, that links. Tapestry. Okay. Going to link into something else.
You guys have any other stories or anything?
I'm storied out.
I've got one more.
You got one more?
If you want to end it too. I mean, if you got, this is called, I love the title, Losing Your Head at the Wilkes Street Tunnel.
Oh, I actually had that one pulled up.
Oh, you know, have at it. No, I want you to read. No, you
this
read
was
it.
Yours, yep.
Yeah. All right. We'll end it on this.
All right. Well, some places become a beacon for bad things to happen, which surely applies to the Wilkes Street Tunnel. First, a man was murdered. His body was laid upon the train tracks on the tunnel's western side. The killers laid the body so the head was resting on the rails and crushed under a passing train. The victim was never identified.
Murdered.
Imagine
you say.
That.
Ugh. Why not? I don't understand. It's only 4 million pieces.
Afterwards, at the end of the Civil War in 1865, a young soldier was discovered to have been stabbed in the tunnel in the evening time. Evening times, bright sunshine. The murderers were never caught. It was believed the man had been lured into the tunnel, robbed, and killed. Finally, a drunken soldier in the eastern portion of the tunnel managed to have his leg mangled by another passing train in 1862.
Jeez.
Word to the wise, stay away from the tunnel.
Stay away from the tunnel.
Sounds like good advice, right?
Wow. That's...
Did yours have any more information than what I went through?
Not really. No. Mm-mm. It talked about the eastern portion. Yeah. Mangled and gosh. Nope. Smoosh. Pretty much covered it. Oof. Yeah. It says also in this one, the victim was never identified. Wow. I'm glad they told me that because I assumed after his head was crushed.
Assumption, right?
No, that's cool. That's sad, but a cool story. So,
Yeah. If good. My suggestion, if you are looking for somewhere to go for a vacation and something to do.
You like history?
Yeah, you like history. You like the United States history.
Yeah.
Plan a trip to Washington, D.C. and Alexandria. And
how far are they from each other, did you say?
It's like 7 miles.
Yeah.
From Washington, D.C. It's right there.
You said there was something an hour away.
I can't remember.
Oh, Jenna's, she's there. I thought you meant I was like fading out. I'm like, she's just checking on me. She's got me on Life 360 now, so don't you worry. Yeah. She knows that I'm still here.
That's a good wife.
Kicking. I can't remember what was an hour away. Yeah.
It was when
that
you
one slips me.
First got back from.
Oh, I think Mount Vernon is like an hour
that
away.
Was it.
Yes.
Yep.
George Washington.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Yeah.
Plantation.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking there was something too. Yeah.
So, and that's awesome to go see too.
Cool. Yeah.
So much cool stuff to go see. Well worth it.
My wife was supposed to do it with Elijah, or I'm sorry, Olivia.
Eighth
COVID.
Grade. Yep.
COVID.
Yeah.
Race that.
Claire's going next.
Same with Parker.
Claire's going next year.
He wasn't able to go.
When they, so they do it in eighth grade?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's eighth grade.
I think
that's what Claire's doing.
I think I'm having a stroke. Amy was going to probably go with Elijah, mm-hmm. maybe planning. Yeah, because he's got two more years.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I think Alexandria was a great topic choice, Nate.
Good job, Nate.
Yeah.
Good,
I've been waiting on that one.
Good job.
Well played.
The memories were flooding in as we're going. That's cool.
Flooding back, yes. Very mm-hmm. good. Yeah, those are fun stories. Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you for what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to do the middle-aged moment. That's what we're going to do. It is, if it's going to feel right for all things that have been happening. But first of all, we have a sponsor, so I want to talk about that first.
Yay.
So we have Scott and Corey Steenburgen. They are the owners of the Greenwood Happy Haunts store, which is an all year around Halloween and fall store. I'm going to put my own spin on it. You know that. Their store can be found on Facebook by looking up Greenwood Happy Haunts. It's located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Scott and Corey are also paranormal investigators, and their Facebook page is PPFI, which is Past, Present, Future Investigations. So please check their store out and their Facebook pages. They are awesome. I haven't even met them, and I want to go to the store. I can't wait.
It's definitely on the agenda.
I already love them, you know. Like, and them being sponsors, it means the world to us.
Yeah, thanks guys for that. Yep.
So I am going to do, and I'm going to do this quickly, but they are actually going to get two middle-aged moments because I can do that because I've had a heck of a week.
it's yours, man.
So this one came to me last night. I was listening with the family, and so I'm going to do Fragile by Sting, which is 1987. He wrote this, but it also came back again, I think. One of the Dave Cravata, a speech therapist I work with, he pointed out that it kind of came back around in 9/11. I think it resurfaced talking about how fragile we are as human beings. Mm-hmm. So the lyrics get to me quite a bit. If blood will flow when flesh and steel are one, drying in the color of the evening sun, tomorrow's rain will wash the stains away, but something in our minds will always stay. Perhaps this final act was meant to clinch a lifetime's argument that nothing comes from violence and nothing ever could. For all those born beneath an angry star, least we forget how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say how fragile we are, how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall like tears from a star, like tears from a star. And on the rain will say how fragile we are. And of course it goes on with that. And it is like I said, when I posted, I put that I'm seeing that through different eyes, hearing that through different ears. That's that song because we are fragile.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see that first and feel that firsthand this week. So I'm grateful to be here and I'm grateful everybody's here. The other thing that this made me think of, as a quick story, is one of my favorite hymns. And I love the story behind it, so I'm going to tell it quickly here, but it is Well With My Soul.
It's one of my favorites.
Right? So It Is Well With My Soul is a hymn penned by hymnist Horatio Spafford and composed by Philip Bliss. First published in Gospel Hymns number 2, it is possibly the most influential and enduring in the Bliss repertoire and is often taken as a choral model, appearing in hymnals and a wide variety of Christian fellowships. The background story is this hymn was written after traumatic events in Spafford's life. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. The first two were the death of his 4-year-old son in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. He had been a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in the property in the area of Chicago that was extensively damaged by the Great Fire. His business interests were further hit by the economic turndown in 1873, at which time he had planned to travel to England with his family. On the SS Ville du Havre, it helped with D.L. Moody's upcoming evangelistic campaigns. In a late change of plan, he sent the family ahead while he was delayed on business concerning zoning problems following the Great Chicago Fire. While crossing the Atlantic, the ship sank rapidly after a collision with the sea vessel, the Loch Earn, and all four of Spafford's daughters died. His wife Anna survived and sent him the now famous telegraph, "Saved alone." Shortly afterwards, as I just got a chill. Shortly afterwards, as Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, he was inspired to write these words as the ship passed near where his daughters had died. Bliss called his tune "Ville de Havre" from the name of the stricken vessel. So he wrote this very touching, these lyrics about just being in complete pain and anguish. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, where whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of his glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, for me to be it Christ hence to live, if Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou shalt whisper thy peace to my soul." So I love the, it is well with my soul. And that is beautiful lyrics, but it is, in this whole process of going through this week, that's what I have to feel, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have not lost anyone tragically, but I almost had my family lose somebody tragically. And I'm here. And so this is okay. And I truly want to, and I've said this before in my life, but I want to take each day for the gift that it is. And I mean, there'll be days I rest and I'm not as active, but I want to really live this life, you know. And part of that is being with you guys and being with my family and going to work and helping people. And so I want to refocus and refigure that out. So thank you for letting me do two of those. Well, and thank you, Scott and Corey, for getting that double whammy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But I do. I'm just very grateful. I'm thankful to everybody out there. I know I've said that before, but I appreciate and I'm glad that I'm here. So God be praised and
very happy you're here.
Yeah, right. So, and this was a fun episode, I have to say, and I'm glad I came.
When we sing that in church, I get emotional.
I got the chills.
It is well, and it, you know, they oh my gosh, with my soul. Oh,
I remember. I'm chills again. I'm close. I'm just getting close, and I'm not a crier. But that is I remember hearing that story when I was a kid and remember that. And I think I got chills every time I've heard it. I think I get chills.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good choices.
No matter what tragedies life throws at you, we have to always hang on to there's a higher power and a reasoning behind everything.
That's right.
And just keep doing what you can do diligently.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been sad. It would have been terrible, tragic. But, you know, I don't want to keep going into it. But it's just when you have Jesus and you have God, then it's what they did for us. It kind of puts it back into
in perspective.
Yeah, with tragedies, they're not fun. Trust me, I get worked up over little annoying things. But I'm just saying, when things do happen, it's like, oh my gosh, it's bigger than us. It's something to hold on to. You know?
Right. So I think the biggest tragedy would have been me not being able to say how much I cared about everybody and what happened and all these things. And like, I would have been silenced, you know? Mm-hmm. So can you imagine me being silenced?
Nate, I don't think that's,
that's not possible.
Let me turn his mic off.
He'll be highly improbable.
Pretty much other than Nate, I don't think you can be silenced. I don't think so. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. That's awesome.
No problem.
Good choices, by the way.
Thank you.
Great choices.
Yeah. Yes, they're awesome.
Now you're not done yet.
Oh,
you got second announcements.
I'm so spent. All right, second part of the announcements. I can do this. Follow us on all social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter. Come join us. Email us at our email account, which is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Catch us on our Tuesday Terror videos and all of our social media accounts. We are on all podcast listening apps. Come get you some, right? Hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating review of our show. If it allows by the apps, and please share our show by word of mouth. That means the world to us, and that really does make a difference in our in the impact that we can have for other people.
It's one of the biggest things you can
do. It really
is.
Mm-hmm. And even text or email the show to someone. We do sell merch, so go get you some. I love saying that. We offer sponsorship opportunities for our episode segments and our Tuesday Terror videos. Individuals and businesses are both welcome. Please email us for more information.
Mm.
Well done.
Well done.
Drop that mic.
Bang.
Well, I'm going to turn over this guy. Nate, what do you got?
Well, this episode was a real big deal. We're a big deal. And all you creepies are a big deal.
Absolutely.
And that's a wrap.
Man, you guys brought your game today.
We have. It's like we want to come back.
Our creepies are big deals, and we appreciate them. Yes. And we love them. And we want to thank them for listening to our episode 103 and the fun discussion on Haunted Alexandria. I almost said West Virginia.
Virginia,
sorry. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.